This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Let me tell you one thing. The Cowboys won today.
Dak Prescott is worth every penny.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Noticed on your Instagram account at MichaelIrvin88, you attended a Mavs-Clippers game with Zeke and Dak. How is Dak?
Dak is back.
The Rich Eisen Show. Earlier on the show, 12-year NBA veteran Rex Chapman. Still to come. Padres shortstop Jake Cronenworth. Plus, actress Emmanuel Shrieky, your phone calls, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Hour number two of the Rich Eisen Show on the air. We just strolled down memory lane as the Lightning could make the Stanley Cup final tonight with Montreal. And if that happens, the Nassau Coliseum closes down. I just revealed a lot of my own personal life of being at my first concert ever was at the Nassau Coliseum. And phone lines are lit. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. You want to talk about the first concert you saw and where that was. Rex Chapman just joined us. That was a great conversation. Yeah, Jake Cronenworth of the San Diego Padres. He is as red hot a hitter as there is in Major League Baseball. And Emmanuel Shrieky, the actress most known for her work on Entourage. She's in a new film, Die in a Gunfight, that's available in select theaters on digital and on demand in July. She'll be joining us in hour number three. She is delightful. And I have not spoken to this man in a very long time, but boy, have I really enjoyed his work on ESPN. Here's just a little sample. This was Mark Jones when Steph was going off just a few weeks ago. Remember he had 9 threes? Well, you remember this, TJ. It was against your Clippers.
Yeah.
I love this call. Hit it.
Prolific hands of Steph Curry in his bag, deep, like the fries are at the bottom. Steph Curry with another one.
Like the fries are at the bottom, man. Like the fries at the bottom, deep in his bag.
He's had some great calls.
No doubt about it. Mark Jones from ESPN here on the Rich Eisen Show. How have you been, Mark Jones?
Oh, Rich, you know what? Steph will make you lose your mind when you watch what he does sometimes. You know, you stand up in your seat and you start turning around at people during the broadcast and realize that everyone around you is lost in the moment, too. It's those are great moments, man. And Rich, you bring me back to a great time at ESPN back in the day, man, when you know, it wasn't as big as it was now with the campus and everything.
Yes, right.
You know, Carol used to sell those stale sandwiches down in the cafeteria.
Well, it was a break room. It was a break room, Mark. There really wasn't a cafeteria. I remember it was like there was a vending machine or two and a refrigerator that we all put stuff in and a coffee machine. Like, and you know, there was oddly enough, a racquetball court down the hall. You know, it was
weird.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. I know. But I also remember, you know, you and I didn't cross paths too much because I think, you know, you were clocking out as I was clocking in for the overnight most of the time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. That's when we had the old, that 2:30 a.m. show.
Oh, yeah.
That I used to do sometimes, and it would finish up a little after 3 a.m., and then you'd have to retape the endings for the re-airs that would run all throughout the next day, right? And now it's live.
Oh, yeah, Mark. I remember many times sitting there on the set just staring at the screen at 3 in the morning, watching the Angels and Mariners go into the 15th inning and just begging for someone to throw a strike. You know, just can somebody score a run? You know, that's literally what I was doing. Who did you do most of your sports centers with when you did that?
Boy, I did some with a bunch with Linda Cohn.
Yes.
Had a couple with Mike Tirico. You know, I've been through the gamut there. This is like, you know, for my first like 8 years, I did a bunch of summer sports centers, and I don't think there was anybody I didn't do a sports center with. Bob Lee, Charlie Steiner. You know, I'm waiting for my gold watch, and I'm coming up on 31 years.
31 years, Mark Jones. 31 years. Wow.
That's crazy.
I know. Yeah. It's been 18 years since I did my last sports center, and it is just enjoyable to watch your, you know, enthusiasm and listen to it as well. Like, you know, watching Curry do his thing and watching everybody do their thing and then listening to you do it. And the NBA Today, how long did you do that show?
Well, I was on that for like 8 years, from 1990 to 98, 99, pretty much, with, you know, Jack Ramsey, God rest his soul, the Hall of Famer, and, you know, David Aldridge was part of our crew back then, and, you know, we had some pretty good guys come through the show back in the day, back before the days of the, you know, the internet and, you know, all these other news sources. And, you know, every week that was kind of your source for basketball news and moving and shaking and happening. And it's interesting how the business has evolved since that time. But that was a fun show. I used to love the crew, and you know, we used to use interns on that show, Rich, which many people don't know. And you know, young people kind of still coming up in the business, they'd be running teleprompter, and it was not unusual for an intern to put like the wrong page in there on their first show. And yeah. They would go from page 1 to page 14, and I'd be ad-libbing from there. Oh. Yeah.
Your Ron Burgundy moment, hopefully not, yeah. You know. Mark Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. And then that was, you know, obviously Jordan at his zenith and his ascendancy, and then his retirement, then his return, and then his zenith. I mean, that was it, pretty much, that period of the 90s. I mean, what a time to have a daily NBA show when there really weren't many daily shows specifically to a sport back in that day either, Mark. You know?
No, it was great to be a part of that Jordan era, and to be able to track that and to be around it, and you know, to go to the different places to watch it happen. Man, the growth of the NBA, you know, even in that Jordan era to where it is now, and how it continues to evolve with the new generation of stars that keep taking the torch and moving it forward and keep running that race. It's been great. And, you know, to see some of the young stars now in the game, you know, to see Devin Booker do his thing, to see Luka Doncic do his thing, to see Trae Young set Milwaukee on fire the other night has been really riveting and compelling television. It's what makes the sport great. And now that we have access to these guys a little bit more now as things return to normalcy, you know, the thing that makes the NBA and especially the playoffs, it's heightened, is the intimacy between what we actually see courtside and the players. You know, there's no helmets, there's no shoulder pads. You see and hear expressions and the communication between the players on the floor. It's been fantastic to watch and to witness as we move down towards the NBA Finals.
Mark Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show, also the voice of the Sacramento Kings when not calling games on ESPN, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. You mentioned Trae Young, and we started this segment with you, with your Curry call that he's deep in his bag, like the fries at the bottom. Young has got a deep bag too, does he not? I mean, we're seeing that bag right now in a big way. How viable do you think the Atlanta Hawks are in these playoffs? Mark,
I think they've got a great shot at winning this series. I don't think anything they did in game one would be considered by good fortune or luck or a fluke. You know, Nate McMillan has put a premium since he took over in March on taking care of the basketball and being two-way players. And those two things have really impacted that team, and they've got a solid foundation. And the guy that's really turned it around under Nate McMillan is Trae Young. He's learned to value the basketball and learn how to manage games better, learning how to and keep his teammates involved and still get his numbers and put up big numbers. And, you know, you look at the contributions that they've got from different players at different times as they've gotten healthy from the time Nate took over to where they are now. I wouldn't be surprised to see them win that series. It wouldn't be considered, you know, an upset in my eyes, because they're a solidly built team, and Clint Capella gives them great rim presence at both ends as well. So they're in a good place.
And of course, you know, these NBA conference championships and then the finals themselves, the conversation is it such and such as time, right? And, you know, once upon a time we were wondering, is it Jordan's time? Is it finally his time? And then finally it was. And then we were wondering if it was somebody else's time, and then Jordan made sure it was not that person's time. And then, you know, Hakeem had his time because Jordan wasn't there, and then so on and so forth. It was LeBron's time finally. And the question I have for you is this Chris Paul's time? What do you think?
You know what? I've got a good feeling that it probably is, although nobody told the Clippers last night. What we saw last night was just really impenetrable defense on the part of the Clippers. They willed themselves to that because it wasn't a pretty game at the offensive end for either team. And, you know, Chris Paul, had a tough time getting going, you know, coming out of protocols and being able to get his rhythm back. And, you know, I think that we'll see a better Chris Paul in the next outing in game four tomorrow night. I think in being able to, one, free up Devin Booker a little bit more, Chris Paul's opportunities will flow a little bit better, too. I think he started pressing at one point in the third quarter when the Clippers went on that 21-3 run, and that was pretty much lights out. But he'll be a lot better, and Monty Williams has done a fantastic job this year, as has Ty Lue, you know, pressing buttons and pulling the right strings. And, you know, they're a team that's built for the future, too. And Chris Paul's impact, you know, even when he's not out there, the rest of the guys in that team, Booker in particular, are doing Chris Paul-like things. So I think this might be his year.
That would be something else, wouldn't it? I mean, certainly if he gets past the Clippers, too, of all teams, to get to that spot. And that would, I mean, it's already cemented his place in Springfield, you know, but it would be, it would, where do you put him in the conversation of all-time great point guards, Mark?
Well, he's got to be right up there on the Mount Rushmore with, Jason Kidd,
Isaiah.
Chris Paul's in that neighborhood. It's an elite block. And I think that, you know, when you look at Chris Paul, guys, his longevity is something that you really start looking at, because the way he's been able to manage his body and take care of his health and, you know, going to his vegan diet in the last couple of years, it's something that's sustainable, especially with his fit. And, you know, he's going to have a decision. Phoenix is going to have a decision this year coming up, what they do with him contractually. And I think he's got a lot of tread left on the tire. He's got a good, you know, 2-3 years left at a high level. You know, everyone talks about LeBron and what he's doing at 36 years old. Chris Paul right now is right with him. And, of course, he does it a little bit more in a grounded way, literally and figuratively. But there's a ways for him to go in his race still.
Mark Jones, ESPN's Mark Jones here on the Rich Eisen Show. In the few minutes I have left with you, sir, let's go down memory lane, story time,
yes,
if you don't mind.
Okay.
You've called games, crossed paths with some incredible personalities, to say the least. Give me your best Bill Walton story. You got one for me, Mark?
You know what? It's interesting. I had one yesterday, Rich. It's wild that you would ask me that, man.
Fantastic.
Because as I was walking to Staples Center across the way here for the game last night, Bill and I, we've done so many funny things both in studio and at games covering games, and he's just wild, man. Like, Bill's in his own universe with his his perspective on the world and basketball during shows and in between. But I had a random thought about Bill as I went to Staples yesterday. Walking down the tunnel, I remember doing games with him here and him saying, "Mark, I need your help," all the time, because Bill, if you know him, has had, I think it's 18 different ankle surgeries.
Yeah.
And his ankles are virtually fused. So as you and I would walk upstairs or down hills, our ankles bend. His are fused almost at a 90-degree angle, right? So he would need my help to go down the tunnel. To walk down the tunnel, he'd rest his hand on my shoulder, and I would help him walk down the tunnel. And I'd always turn around and say, "You good, partner?" He'd say, "Yeah, I'm good from here on in." And just a sweet soul of a guy, and really, really a team player, and wanted the best for everybody. That's my Bill Walton memory, is just helping him up and down the tunnel at Staples Center.
Just
the bond that we share during games.
Yeah, I mean, here's something. words that I never thought I would say, but they're serious. He and I did a Katy Perry video together. Mark. And he had his own metal chair with him because he's got to bring his own chair because it's his back. It's not just his ankles, right? It's his back, too. And, you know, I gave him a lift back to his hotel because it was just as the crow flies a couple of miles away. But because of Los Angeles traffic, it took about a half an hour. And I didn't know that when you take him, you have to take his chair, too. And I put it in the back of my car, and it shattered my rear windshield. And he insisted on paying for it. He sends me a check. along with this note, thank you for the time and the car and my life, you know, all of that business.
You're right.
And I have not cashed that check. I will never cash that check. That isn't.
That's a great keeper.
I love that guy. What about Hubie? You got a good Hubie Brown story for me, Mark Jones?
You know what? Hubie, the great Hubie Brown story that I remember him telling me, the one that's always stuck with me, is us sitting around in the hotel lobby at the Boston Harbor Hotel.
Yes.
After a game, and him telling me about his first time as a coach with the Milwaukee Bucks. And he's just coming from Duke, and it's his first year. They're in training camp, and it's training camp, and they're going two-a-days, and he's the young assistant. And Larry Costello, the head coach, tells him to go downstairs and tell Oscar, right? Tell Oscar that, hey, he needs to get his butt up here because we're running today. And he goes down there just frightened. He's jumping out of his skin because, you know, Oscar's this great player, Mr. Triple-Double, and he looks Oscar in the eye meekly and says, Oscar, Coach says to come on upstairs. He turns around and runs back up. And about 2 minutes before practice starts, Oscar walks in, and Hubie says, Jonesy, I just had this big exhale. Thank God that he heard me.
I love it. And every words that we, you know, what we call parts on the floor and, you know, the painted area, right? I mean, like, he's come up with the verbiage that we all use to describe the game, right?
Yeah. Hubie's great that way.
Working
with him has been a dream. It's been fantastic. And you learn so much. Sometimes, Rich, you know, you have to snap yourself out of just listening to him and remember, oh, hey, Mark, you got to document the game. Okay?
Right, yes. I love that. And what about Doris Burke calling games with her? I think she's fantastic. You guys are a great listen. What's that been like for you, Mark?
Doris is great, man. She's another Hall of Famer I've had the pleasure to work with, and a fantastic team player and a great soul that loves the game. And, you know, over the years, being able to be around her, to see what kind of person she is, has been one of the fantastic things. She's helped me a lot in my career. And, you know, when you work with somebody that you really enjoy, when you're not in front of the camera, it really helps. And to watch her prepare for games and to, you know, share information the way that we do, really helps our broadcast. And man, I've had the pleasure to work with some fantastic people. Doris is so talented and loves the game, and is so well respected. And man, I'm just trying to catch all those papers, man. You know.
I bet. Last one for you, Mark. I appreciate the time you've given me. Near and dear to my heart, Stuart Scott. Do you have a memory, recollection? He arrived when you were already there, and started on the Deuce, as we called it back in the day. Your recollections crossing paths with him, any stories about him with him, Mark?
Man, I remember Stu, the first time I actually met him was just briefly before he got to ESPN in Orlando. And, you know, as another young African-American getting into the business, I just remember his wonderful energy. And I love the, you know, Stu and I used to talk about kind of our shared hip-hop vibe that we love being able to bring to highlights and bring to broadcasting, me on the play-by-play and the studio show, the NBA Today Show, and him on SportsCenter. And sitting around at night and exchanging expressions and talking about culture and talking about trying to go uphill, frankly, Rich, a lot of times, getting people to understand where we were coming from and what the vibe was all about was one of our common bonds. And, you know, I think about him all the time when I see how far and this business has come and how it's transformed as part of our overall American culture has been great. And I think about Stuart being a vital part of that. And just how much fun he was to be around. You know, we get to be around some fantastic people in this business, and I think about Stu and how much he loves his girls and his daughters, and I know he's smiling on us right now because I think about him this time of the year because it's the NBA Finals coming around the bend, and how much he enjoyed this time of year and being with him at the NBA Finals different times and being able to hang out and have dinners and talk about our families. Just a great guy that I miss right now. And I get a little choked up thinking about him.
Me too, Mark. I think of him all the time this time of year. Yeah. I think about him, like, what would he think of Chris Paul? What would he think of what's going on with Ben Simmons? What would he think of Kobe passing? What would he think of Jordan being there to induct Kobe in posthumously? What would he think about Kaepernick? What would he think about everything that's going on in our lives? What would he thought about what happened to and the murder of George Floyd and you know, what the NBA players dealing with in the bubble? I literally think of all that. And I also think of him with the calls, like what you said, the fries at the bottom, deep in his bag. Like, literally that, I thought he would have loved that line. That would have been, he would have sat there. Maybe he was sitting there and chuckling at it. Yeah. To be very honest with you, Mark. You know?
Yeah, I still draw a lot of inspiration from Stu, and in those moments, I like to let it go the way probably he would too. So,
you do. Great. I enjoy listening and watching you. And let's do this more often. I think this is more time than we spoke when we were actually at ESPN together. So, let's do this again.
Rich, I'd love to. I'd love for you to have me, and thank you very much for having me on your show. You do a fantastic job. You're one of the wonderful voices in our business.
Thanks.
And I appreciate you.
All right. Enjoy game four, Mark.
You got it.
You got it.
Take care, man.
You take care. You bet. That's Mark Jones, everybody, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. I thought of Stu when he, you know. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back and take your phone calls. Chris Paul spoke about what happened with him in COVID. We'll hit that. Oh. Coming up next, and more of your phone calls when we come back at 844-204-RICH. Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people, or as you might know from their jingle, O-O-O, O'Reilly Auto Parts. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs, because you know when you need your car fixed, you need somebody who knows what they're talking about and is helpful, has a smile on their face, and gets you back on the road. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can test your battery for free in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you just find the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fix, or a quick service? They'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. Whether you're a car aficionado or an auto novice, you will find the employees at O'Reilly Auto Parts knowledgeable, helpful, and the best of all, friendly. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's O'ReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because quality sleep is so essential. That's why the Sleep Number smart bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs, and the same thing for your partner, so you can choose what's right for each of you whenever you like. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side, helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature, quiets your snores or your partner's? Sleep Number does that. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. 10 numbers apart, but it truly is the world of difference. The Sleep Number sleep that you get is unbelievable. You will love it. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now you could save 50%. That's 50%. On the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com. Lawrence Fishburne here on the Rich Eisen Show. So if you could name one sport that you would be most interested in, which would it be?
The one I actually enjoy watching is mixed martial arts. I enjoy MMA because it's real drama.
Uh-huh.
It's completely unpredictable. You never know who's going to win. And these guys, it seems to me that they're, you know, fighting for their lives.
Have you gone to any one
of them? I've been to one event in Toronto, Canada, a couple of years back. And it was the fight with John Jones and Gustafson.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really, really exciting.
It's brutal.
It is. It is.
Well, I mean, whenever there's a sport and the word submission is part of its lexicon,
yes,
Lawrence, you know,
exactly.
I mean,
that, submission and tap out. And
you know, yeah. So have you been to any prize fights? Any?
I have. I was at the fight that I was at that fight with Mike Tyson and Evander.
Where he bit his ear off?
Yes, I was at that fight. I was at another fight. I was at a couple of Tyson fights.
Well, you can't. Hold on. We need to go back to the other one. So what was your reaction when you saw what was going on in the
ring,
Lawrence?
You know, it was really odd.
yes.
Mike's behavior was a little erratic, and it didn't match up with the guy that I had met many times in person.
Mm-hmm.
It was a surprise to see it happen once and then to see it happen again.
Yeah.
But the freakiest part and the most memorable part to me was what happened after the second time. I was with another actor friend of mine who you might know, Billy Zane.
Sure.
And the second time happened, I looked up and I saw a couple of marshals coming from the exits. And I saw that they were closing the doors and they were getting ready to lock everybody in the stadium. So I grabbed Billy and said, "We're leaving. We're leaving now." And we got out just in the nick of time. It was crazy that night in Vegas.
Too bad for him you weren't on the set of Titanic on that for his character, Lawrence.
I might have been able to help him out.
He could have helped him out. So did they explain what was going on to those in the arena? That what the hell
I don't
was,
know, because
happened?
By the time they got to talking, me and Billy were out of the arena. We were gone. I said, "Yo, we are leaving." And we left.
Oh, man. 3 years ago today, go to our YouTube page, because for that interview, we also talked about Apocalypse Now, which he was in as a baby.
Whew. Man, 3 years ago?
Absolutely. That was 3 years ago today. Go to our archives. We got a lot of great stuff there. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here. Phone lines are lit. We're about to take your phone calls. Jake Cronenworth, can't wait to chat with this young man. And now our number three with Emmanuel Shrieky as well. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show on Peacock and this Rich Eisen Show radio affiliate. Let's go to the phone line, shall we? I love looking down and seeing six blinking lights at me. It means we're doing something right.
It's not even football season.
It means we're doing something right. How great, by the way, was that with Mark Jones? Wasn't that
big,
fun?
Big, big fan.
Right, yeah. I mean, like, again.
Big, big fan.
You know, Rich, I know we're getting to a call, but just to speak on what Mark said about he and Stuart Scott kind of changing the vernacular of the way games and sports centers were called. It was, you know, I'd be in college and I would write my stories covering our men's and women's basketball teams.
Yes.
Except back in those days in the early 90s, I would write the way I talked. So it was never running. It was running, you know, jumping. I used a lot of ellipses and I always work hip hop lyrics into it. And I remember the first story I wrote, our editors didn't understand what I wrote and they rewrote my entire story. And I remember our basketball coach caught me throwing papers, the school paper in the trash. Like I went around to every stop on campus. I was so mad and I would dump these papers because I felt like they ruined my story. So I would wait. I wouldn't submit my stories until deadline.
So they couldn't
change it. And then when Stuart and Mark Jones and Stu were around, it was like, that's it. Like, you know, Mark Jones once said during a game, kicking the serious flavor, gee. And me and my boy Paul Zeiss looked at each other like, did he just say that on TV, kicking the serious flavor?
Right.
Like,
right.
So, like, yeah, that for me, he and Stuart really kind of cemented the fact that I thought I was onto something by the way I was writing. And I was just so happy to see those guys have that form to be able to talk the way we were talking and the way I was trying to write. So,
let me give you something.
Yeah.
Let me give you something. I'm going to get emotional because I do love you, man. You mean a lot. And I'm serious when I say this. This is not a setup. I know how I love setting you up and taking the middle key and all this. This is serious. Hearing you say this, because I had a front row seat to Stu Scott, as you know.
Yeah.
I had a front row seat to everything. His copy, his handwriting, his everything that he wrote and his copy. He wrote exactly the way you just described the way you wrote.
Yeah.
With ellipses. He sometimes would put like 15 dots in a row. and it would mess up his prompter because the 15 dots, because they didn't, they did not, whoever was messing with your copy, they might have done that to start. I don't know, because he predated my arrival. His copy was not to be touched.
Yeah.
And it was filled with gettings, not getting. Yeah. Exactly what you just said. So you were on to something.
I thought so.
No wonder you felt like you were being heard and that he was echoing what you were doing, because he was doing the same thing. He would have all of his ellipses. It would be all of these dots in between his copy. And I thought to myself, I don't know how he's reading it. Plus, he had eyesight problems to begin with.
Yeah.
He would write his catchphrases in his own handwriting on his shot sheets, the same way that he would say it on the air as the way he would type it in the screen.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome.
So I'm thrilled to be able to bestow that to you years later, that you were onto something. And he'd have done the same damn thing you did, which is throw those newspapers right out.
Yeah,
and then wait, and then figure out how to game the system, as opposed to, you know, trying to knock the door down, because you knew you'd be banging your head against a wall.
Yeah,
and you needed to do what you had to do to get across what you needed to get across, because it was more important to get that style out there, as opposed to fight whatever system might be preventing it from happening. How does that sound?
Yeah, that was pretty much it.
This is
pretty much it.
One of my more favorite moments we've had here. That was cool. I'm glad you brought that up. Let's go to the phone lines here. Kathy in Philadelphia has been hanging on forever. What's up, Kathy?
Hey, fellas. How's it going?
Kathy.
What's going on?
What up?
Well, first, before I get to the reason why I call, my first concert was Springsteen at the Garden, but my second concert was the Monkees at Westbury Music Fair.
Westbury Music Fair.
The Monkees.
Are words I have not heard in a long time.
So since we're doing the New York City versus Long Island comparison.
Sure.
But the real reason for my call, Rich, happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you very much.
I wanted to say thank you. For the reasons that go into your Best Dad Ever plaque. Yesterday, when you took real estate on the Pentacast to tell your son that you loved him on air, the world needs more of that. So thank you for that. Oh. And also, thank you for normalizing talking to your daughters about sports.
Mm-hmm.
I know your daughter's a little different because she has a rock star mom in the sports world, but the fact that you normalize it with not just your daughter, but with your sons, that this is something you all do together, again, something the world needs more of. So thank you,
Kathy. That is so nice, and I appreciate it. And there's no broadside from you, just straight up.
I was going to throw in maybe the East Coast opposed to, you know, East Coast adjacent,
right.
Staten Island as opposed to, you know, New Jersey adjacent.
Yes.
I was thinking about one of those.
There you go. It's okay.
Let this be a nice call.
Because it's Kathy, but that's, now I know everything's fine. Now that I heard that. Okay. Take care of yourself, Kathy. Thanks for saying that. Appreciate it.
Rich, I want to thank Kathy. She, Photoshopped a picture of me and Goldie Hawn. Remember we had the Goldie Hawn talk, and she did it over the Price is Right picture.
Wow. Okay.
I laughed out loud at that one.
We call that next level.
Thank you, Kathy.
We call that next level. I appreciate that. Okay, let's go to who's been holding the longest. I like to do that first. Todd in California. What's up, Todd?
Hey, Rich. Not my first concert, but my most important concert.
Okay, then. Go for it.
Dating a young lady in college, 1988.
Yep.
And I break up with her because I'm a knucklehead. To win her back, Valentine's Day, 1989, I buy two tickets to a Chicago concert and invite her to go. 6 months later, I ask her to marry me, and we just celebrated 31 years of marriage.
Hey! That's a hard habit to break right there. Fantastic.
That's awesome.
All righty then. So at least one of us got something out of a Chicago concert. Thanks for the call, Todd. That makes me feel all the warm and fuzzies.
Eisenpalooza.
That's a good Harbaugh. That's Jim Harbaugh. All right, John in Carlsbad, California. What's Carlsbad. Up, John?
Hey, Rich, I got a good one. 1966, I was 14, and me and a friend in the neighborhood, we grew up at the beach of Redondo, and I went out with one sister. He went out with the other. The mother and the boyfriend dropped us off at Dodger Stadium and saw them behind a cage in the infield. That was, they had them like behind chain link fences.
Who'd you see?
The Beatles.
Oh, just what? The Beatles.
Wow. Sorry about that.
Left that part out.
Buried the lead there. That's the lead.
Yada, did you just yada, yada, yada the Beatles? Is that what you did? Yada, yada.
Wow. It was just the Beatles.
What was that like, the Beatles at Dodger Stadium in 1966?
Well, it was, they were behind like a chain link fence.
Sure.
And I would say the sound system was probably like the speakers I had in college in my apartment, you know? But it didn't matter. Everybody's screaming. I don't know if they could hear anything, but it was kind of fun to go.
The Beatles in Dodger Stadium. Thanks for the call. Feller, by the way, Del Tufo, this is like Del Tufo takes a day off. We're talking about concerts, and right. Emmanuel Shrieky's on.
And he's not here.
And he's not here.
That's a shame.
What was your first concert that you went to, Feller?
311 and Incubus.
311. Oh, I mean,
311, that's what I call for information
the
back in the day, right?
Mid-90s. Like,
was that, or is that, that's 411.
Yeah, it's the 411, son. Mary J. Blige.
311 and Incubus.
Yep.
Where was this?
Long Beach.
Long Beach, California. Yeah, I've never been to an Incubus concert. Why are you laughing?
No reason.
I would not expect
Monday
you to.
No reason. Kelly in San Jose, California will take your phone call here. What's going on, Kelly?
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call and happy belated birthday
to you. Thanks for making the call.
Yeah, so I was born in 79, so I technically grew up on my parents' music of 50s and 60s. So technically, my first concert was the Everly Brothers.
Okay.
However,
yes.
The first concert I went to that was current music at the time in my heyday was I saw Young MC open for Milli Vanilli.
Oh, what? Okay, now, here, follow-up question. Here's my follow-up question. Did you ask for your money back eventually?
So this was I think a month before the whole scandal came out. I was 11 years old at the time. You know, they sounded great. They sounded just like yeah, their album. They did. You know, they didn't stray from
that's
recordings
odd.
Or anything.
Very
and
well produced.
The odd thing that I remember about that concert was I couldn't believe that they had faked their singing because they pulled people out of the audience. I mean, now you know that they were planted in the audience, but it was just kind of like, oh, that girl got pulled up on stage. I'm so jealous of everything.
It was all
wow
a fake, right? It was all a fake. It's unbelievable. Yeah. Oh, my. But you were 11, so what do you know? What do you know?
I didn't care. The music sounded great at the time. And then my heart was broken a month later.
How was Young MC?
Just bust the move.
He was great. You know, I remember Bust a Move, but I remember, I don't remember the exact title of the song, but I think it was like something along the fastest rap or something like that.
Okay.
So I was kind of blown away just hearing him do that, how fast he was able to spit out those lyrics.
Fantastic. Thanks for the call. Great chat right there. Milli Vanilli. Wow. What a fraud. What a scam.
I mean,
they didn't want to sing at all. Or?
Scam.
No, they lip-synced the whole thing.
But it wasn't even them either, so right? It was two.
Yeah,
right?
Other, yeah,
there were other singers that
they were just
the
front
man, right?
So to speak.
Yeah, they were.
Correct,
just,
right? Yeah. It wasn't, again, I'm not, you know, Mr. Behind the Music here, but, right? Didn't
yeah, yeah,
they lip-synced
other
people
singing?
Yeah. So they were the faces of the music. They had other people sing, exactly. And then Milli Vanilli put on the performance.
I don't remember. They literally were, they'd be in concert and plant the people that they would call up?
I've never heard that one. But it makes sense.
Yeah.
Those are the twins, right, with the long hair? Just,
well, they weren't twins.
They weren't actually twins, but yes.
Did they sell out they were twins, too? Like, that was this I know, all made
I
up?
They were just Robin Fab. They were Milli Vanilli. And, yeah. You know.
Milli Vanilli.
Girl, you know it's real.
Oh, God. Just be careful. It'll be one of those things where we're going to plant this in people's heads just to cleanse it out. Would you play Frozen, please? No.
Stop.
By the way, I love how you swear that your son will never listen to Frozen.
We'll never see
that's
Frozen.
That's a false falsehood. Because one day, somebody's going to get a Christmas present. And it's going to be wrapped and it's going to be put into a Tupperware. Inside the Tupperware will be Frozen. And it's going to be great because it's going to be a cartoon.
Stop.
And he's going to be, "What's this, Dad?" And it's going to be an Uncle Rich, if I'm so lucky to be called such. Uncle Rich is going to tell Cage, "This is the greatest soundtrack in the history of animated film." And I'll say it in a way that he'll totally want to see it. And it's going to be great. It's going to be lit. And it's going to be my ultimate revenge. And it is a caper that I'm planning like my own personal Lufthansa heist right now.
Except my bit
I
was
am
funny.
The Maury the Wig
Nothing
man.
Nothing about this is funny.
I might even just get a toupee and jump backwards in a pool just to connect the dots with Maury the Wig Man. Oh, that's going to be
And I'm
great.
Not going to be happy banging against the shower wall. I will be crying in the shower.
Well done. I'm enjoying all
Thank
of
you.
This.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break. More phone calls. And then when we come back, there is news breaking in the NBA. And what did Chris Paul say when he was asked about his bout or stint with COVID? Back with that before Jake Cronenworth of the Padres joins us. It's that time of year, people. Spring has sprung, and that means spring cleaning, or at least the partner in your life is demanding that you do it. Whether that means stocking up on cleaning supplies or swapping out your winter clothes for new spring clothes, make sure you're using Ibotta and get real cash back with every purchase. Ibotta is a free app that gives you the most cash back every time you shop on hundreds of items from groceries to beauty supplies to toys. The average Ibotta user earns $256 per year. That could cover the cost of an entire shopping trip, that flight you've been eyeing, or the fancy dinner you've been craving. Join the over 50 million users and earn cash back every time you shop from over 2,700 brands and retailers. And right now, Ibotta is offering our listeners $5 for just trying Ibotta by using the code EISEN when you register. Just go to the App Store or Google Play Store and download the free Ibotta app to start earning cash back and use my code EISEN. That's IBOTTA in the Google Play or App Store and use my code EISEN.
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
What nickname are you most proud of that you did?
Oh, man.
By the way, I knew that's when I arrived, is when you called me
Betty Davis.
Rich Betty Davis
Betty
Eisen.
Betty Davis Eisen.
And you also went Rich Kaleidoscope Eisen.
Well, you did that too. We could definitely go a lot of ways with that. Betty Davis, Kaleidoscope.
Lucy in the Sky with Eisen, you also gave me that one.
Because once you're on a roll, maybe a beer in, then they start coming. The thing about the nicknames, and I know we've talked about it, is they never, this is revisionist history, when people write, "Well, he really wanted to do this to be famous." Garbage. I did it because it was 2:30 in the morning and it said Seattle 5, Kansas City 2 with no pictures for a minute.
Yeah, right.
You got to go with something.
Right.
So here's Julio, "Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?" Had three doubles for the Mariners. Okay, so it's just, it came out, it worked. That's not the question you asked me. The ones that work the best are the ones that, they're all plays on names, none are derogatory, but you don't have to eat. So Bert Beholm, Bly Levin.
Right,
okay?
That was a good one.
So, well, you don't have to know he's a pitcher, you don't have to know he throws a curveball, right. You don't have to know anything.
Right.
Every kid's heard it, every parent said it. You don't even have to be a baseball fan to get that. So a lot of them are foods, some of them are... I mean, John Tonight, let it be Lowenstein. There's Jose, can you see Cruz? O to B, Young again, McDowell.
That was
Jim, two silhouettes on Duchesne. I mean, that's music.
Joe, actual retail price.
I mean, there's just it's a game everyone can play, you know. And then with football, you go over to high only under highlights, and you know. Eric sleeping with the enemy.
Eric sleeping with the enemy, or
Bernard innocent until proven guilty.
Everybody has their favorites.
Andre Bad Moon Rising.
Well, that was next. Well, he tattooed Bad Moon right here on pre-tattoo days. Andre's great, on buddy
the left,
of mine.
On the left bicep.
No way he knew who Creedence Clearwater Revival was. No way. But Bad Moon Rising, you know, there's tons of them.
Love, love, love Chris Berman. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show for all of that. At Rich Eisen Show on YouTube and also Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and The Rich Eisen Show. I'm not going to say the. On TikTok.
I downloaded that app yesterday.
When Zan comes back from camp, he'll start making some TikToks for us.
Let's do it.
Better than you.
I'm not doing TikTok dances.
You can do the Milli Vanilli dance.
We'll bring it back.
Yeah. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on the program. I can't wait to chat with Jake Cronenworth of the San Diego Padres.
Your boy.
He's San Diego's boy now, sir. San Diego's boy
man, what
now.
A fun team the Padres are, man.
They are. But they and the Dodgers 4.5 behind the San Francisco Giants.
Nobody's talking
who,
about.
Who, by the way, the Giants versus Ohtani the other day was just fun. You know, Ohtani's next start is against the Yankees in New York.
Really?
Oh, God. I mean, Ohtani starting against the Yankees in New York will just light up every single major media market.
Red Sox Yankees tonight.
Here we go. I think Ohtani's taking on the Yankees next. At any rate, long story short, I can't wait to chat.
Was that our daily Ohtani segment?
That was it. That's our daily Ohtani segment. Emmanuel Shrieky and Jake Cronenworth joining us in hour number three.
Shout out to Kyle Schwarber, who just keeps dropping bombs.
He keeps cranking them out.
I picked him up in fantasy immediately. Had two home runs yesterday. I know.
He's a swinging fire hydrant. Jeez. It's like if a fire hydrant had arms and could swing it back, it's Kyle Schwarber.
It's so true.
Honestly, he looks like a fire hydrant.
He's hit like a dozen home runs in the last 2 weeks.
Unreal. Unreal. But Cronenworth's got 5 in the last 8 games.
Man.
Yeah. So, at any rate, Jason Kidd has been named the head coach of the Dallas Mavericks.
It is official.
We talked about it as it was about to happen with Rex Chapman. He says it's going to be great. And he thinks that absolutely Luka gave the Doncic check mark to it. So.
Rich, you would think after seeing what's happening in Green Bay, all teams would run any type of move past their star.
Right? One would think.
You would think so.
One would think. Now, Chris Paul returned last night, and we heard nothing. Did he have it? Was he vaccinated? What was going on? Was he a close contact? Was he just in deep in protocol? Did he have any sort of symptoms? What's going on? This was his response.
How did you find out? Have you been racking your brain, wondering how it could have happened? They reported that you were vaccinated, so obviously it's
very... I was laying in bed with my kids and got a text from Brady, you know what I mean? And so then you go into, you know, it is what it is, you know, dealt with it. Anybody with kids, anytime you're going through something, the hardest part is being away from your kids and your family, you know, so... Once you get over the shock of what's happening, to hell with how and why, you know, you just start, you know, figuring out how you can get better. Like I said, I got the best team in the world you could possibly have, and I'm here and grateful. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I would just love to know the how and why, certainly since these days people are getting, you know, but it's his own personal choice. And I'm glad that he's back.
So many questions.
I do. I have so many questions about it. Thank God, you know, we're all vaccinated here. I read somewhere that 99.7% of the COVID deaths in the United States right now suffered by unvaccinated people. Please get your shot, people. And it's not perfect, so be careful still. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Let's go back. Everyone wants to call in about their first concert. Again, my first concert was in Nassau Coliseum, which may be closing down tonight. or we'll see one last run with the Stanley Cup final. Be like the 1970s all over again with Montreal versus the Islanders. Bill in Portland, Oregon, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Rich. How's your plantar fasciitis doing?
Oh, good. Thank you for asking. Thank you for asking. I've worked through it.
I'm the one with the frozen golf balls.
I know that. Yeah. I remember that. I appreciate that. I'm working through it, so thank you.
Well, it wasn't a concert necessarily, but I had the privilege of meeting just about every outfit that came out of England in 1964, including the Beatles up in Liverpool before Ringo even showed up.
So you're watching.
I was stationed there in the Air Force, and I got to see him and the Animals and the Rolling Stones and Dave Clark and you name them. I got to meet every one of them before I came back to the States.
Bill, so you're saying two things. One, your first concert was seeing the Pete Best drummed Beatles. Is that what you're saying? Pete Best was the drummer? This is pre-Ringo?
The Beatles, when they were playing in Liverpool, when they first got started.
Yeah. My gosh. And so you were part of the British invasion as well, is what you're saying.
Oh, I was. Yeah, I was stationed over there.
Damn.
63 through 65 in the Air Force. And they played all of our airmen's clubs over there before they even came to the States.
How about that?
I sat at the same table with the Dave Clark Five and the Animals and people like that. They sit at our tables while they were doing our airmen's clubs.
Wow. That is an amazing story.
It was a blast. I just listen to people, you know, they see the Rolling Stones and all those people when they got over here, and I get to thinking to myself, yeah, I got to meet them before anybody else did.
Bill, thanks for the call. That is an amazing story. That is an amazing story. Bruce in Kentucky, you're here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's up, Bruce?
Hey, Rich. I just want to touch base with you on the Chicago. My very first concert
was
Chicago at Freedom Hall in 1971.
Freedom Hall. Now, what was that? Chicago in 1971 must have been something to see. Big time.
Oh, I've loved Chicago ever since the very early 70s. Then I migrated to Blood, Sweat, and Tears and Grand Funk Railroad.
Uh-huh. Now, I'm mandated to ask because the last caller called about Chicago, and my story involved a young lady a date. Was yours as well in Freedom Hall back in 71 in Chicago?
No, this was sex, drugs, and alcohol era.
Freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose, says Bruce in Kentucky.
I lost it about 8 months later when I was drafted. So,
man, thank you for the call,
and then
Bruce.
It became the Rolling Stones. We got to get out of this place.
That's right. Oh, man, thanks for the call, Bruce. That's fun stuff right there with Bruce in Kentucky.
Eisen Palooza.
Thank you very much.
I don't know why that's so funny.
Tootie in Oregon. We haven't spoken to Tootie in like forever and a day. Where have you been, Tootie?
Tootie.
Oh, I'm still here hanging on.
Okay, what's going on?
Well, first of all, we share a birthday, so I can never forget yours.
Happy birthday. So
happy birthday, Tootie.
Happy birthday yesterday.
Same to you.
You always have great guests.
Thanks.
In answer to your question today, when I was a teenager, we didn't see as many, you got records, but you didn't really see as many people on TV. My first concert was The Doors. And Jim Morrison, for a teenage girl, was quite the impression and the revelation. And never the same afterwards.
I imagine so. All right. Thanks for the call, Tootie. Appreciate it. There you go.
Thanks, Tootie.
All right, so we've gotten a Beatles in Dodger Stadium, a Beatles in Liverpool. We've gotten Doors. Yeah, it was Chicago and Nassau Coliseum.
Yeah, no slouch.
And Mr. Incubus over there with the drops.
Where in Long Beach? The convention center or something?
I don't remember. I was in eighth grade.
All right.
Eighth grade?
Yeah.
Seeing Incubus in eighth grade. Who took you?
Babysitter lived next door.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Wait, did she want to go to the concert and just dragged you along? Or?
Yeah. We ended up dating 10 years later.
Bauer.
And once again, I feel like Del Tufo with this is crazy like, story.
This is like some Cinemax movie. This is the start of a Cinemax movie.
My babysitter was Shannon Tweed.
Yeah, we dated 10 years later.
No big deal.
I told Shannon.
Porky's four.
I asked, Mom, are you going out this Saturday? Because I'd love to see Shannon at the Incubus concert.
Wow. What the hell?
Oh, baby.
See, that's why I stay quiet Damn. Most of the time.
No, you really shouldn't. You gotta tell us this stuff.
Let's sneak in one more phone call here. Andy in Clearwater, Florida. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Rich. Love you guys. Happy belated.
Thank you.
First rap concert I ever went to, somewhere in Cincinnati, circa 92, late 92, early 93, opening act. It was like in a gymnasium. It wasn't even like River Coliseum or anything like that. It was In Too Deep, Tupac, and Too Short. And after Tupac's set, me and my buddy are about fifth row, and all of a sudden comes flying through this guy, blasts right between the two of us, turns around, puts his hand on my shoulder, and says, "Sorry, bro." It was Tupac with his red bandana on, kicking it. One of the coolest things ever. Never forget that time. What a great experience. I think we were probably the only two white dudes in the whole arena, aside from the opening act, In Too Deep, Back to the Hotel.
Beep, beep.
If you remember that. Yeah.
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 Back to the Hotel.
Tell Del Tufo should name his boat My Days Off. DAZE.
Oh, wow. That's right.
And the swashbuckler is Bucko Bruce.
Okay, the Bucko Bruce for the helmet.
Love
okay.
you guys.
Right back at you. Thank
See
you.
Andy.
My Days, D-A-Z-E, off.
He's never going to name
never
his
gonna
boat.
Be his name. But
he's never going to name
no,
his
it's
boat.
Not, no, he's not, but he's going to name his boat. He would never name it that because it shows
fun
you.
Of himself.
But his point is that he doesn't take days off.
Yeah, he's working somewhere else.
That's what he said.
I don't have everything ready.
So he's not off. Technically.
Right.
He's still working.
Like today, right. He's just working for someone else. So he would have a problem with what Andy said. But from our right. point of view, it's total perfect. Slacker. total slacker from our point of view.
I told him that yesterday, Rich. I was like, "You're not here." He goes, "I'm working somewhere else." I'm like, "Yeah, but we don't care about that other place.
Yeah, we don't care about that.
We're talking about here."
Nobody cares.
Long before there was Ohtani, you know who there was? Big Jake Ruth? Cronenworth.
Oh.
The man who helped with his bat. And the man who closed out from the mound, Michigan's Big Ten Championship in 2019, joining us next.